If you'd like, you can open up your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We'll just start there. We'll be looking at a lot of different verses today. And let's go ahead and pray for our time together. Father, we pray that, Lord, as we're here, you'd help us just settle in, and Lord, you'd help in this message, Lord, and the messages today and the fellowship. Lord, we know, Lord, you're able to, Lord, bring a word. And Lord, just think about the brother, Lord, just saying just the power of the preached word. And Lord, we pray as we look at these things that you might move us, you might help us, you might encourage us. Lord, we know that you're the God of all encouragement. Thank you that that's true. Think about the most encouraging brothers that we know, and knowing that you're just a million times more encouraging. We thank you that you are that way. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us. You encourage your people through this word today that we'll look at. Just pray for more of the Spirit, more help, grace to be free from distraction, grace to incline our ear, and Lord, to cry out for wisdom, and Lord, to seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. And Lord, you said then we'll find the knowledge of God, and Lord, be sweet to our soul. Lord, we pray for that. We pray for sweetening of the soul, light in the soul, strengthening in the inner man this day. And Lord, we pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name, that you guard us from the enemy. And pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the title of my message today is "The Christian Has Never Had a Normal Day." The Christian has never had a normal day. It is more like a topical message. Don't normally always preach these, but sometimes it seems like it can be good. But you've never had a normal day as a Christian. And of course, I'm not saying something about the Lord's Day. I know some people have, you know, take the Lord's Day to be the more special than the other days. But whatever your thought on that is, every day is a special day as a Christian. Even if there may be one day out of the week that is more special than others, I think after this message we'll be in agreement that they're all special, they're all significant as a Christian. And it's important to see it this way, right? I mean, have you ever had this experience? Maybe you've been at the church meeting on the Sunday, very encouraging. Maybe the prayer meeting, very encouraging. You felt your soul lifted up. Maybe your time in the, then you get to the work week. Monday morning, you go to work. Maybe you have some time with the Lord. You feel encouraged about what you've had some good fellowship over the weekend. And you get right in there on Monday. Maybe you work around some people, some lost people, very closely related to them. And then you're all encouraged. You walk in and you ask, "How are you doing?" They say, "Well, pretty good for a Monday," right? And it's like pops your bubble, you know, or something. And it's like, oh, anything that happens bad on Monday, it's like, oh, it's Monday, right? And then Tuesday, that's not really significant in the world's mind. Wednesday's not. Thursday, well, it's getting close to the significance, right? The Friday, oh, that's a significant day. Not the time at work, but when I get off of work, and if I have the weekend off, that's going to be significant. Or if I have a vacation, that's significant. Or the fellowship conference, that's significant, right? But I think it could be helpful for us to see that every day as a Christian is a special day. You've never had a normal day as a Christian. I think it's relevant, this topic, just because we do have that so ingrained in us in our culture, this idea that only the weekends are significant, only days off are significant. A work day is never significant, they say, right? But what we'll see, I think, as we look at these different points, is we'll see that there's things that are true of us every day, true realities that are true of us every day, that really show and the reality that our lives are just filled with significance, filled with wonder, if you will. Glorious thing. To be a Christian is a very glorious thing, supernatural realities, awesome things happening on the daily. And we don't have to let the world give us their opinion on the matter, right? We can rejoice in the Lord always. One sister told me one time, she heard me preach this, and she said, you know what? I knew that when I became a Christian that it was going to change Mondays, right? There's a joy that the Christian has driving to work Monday morning, and we can rejoice in the Lord. Everybody else doesn't have it, do they? There's a joy that they know nothing of. So I think this could be relevant for us. Also, those of us that are in a season of waiting, maybe there's something in the future that you hope to get to one time, but you're not there yet. And you're hoping, you're looking for that day, whatever it may be, some kind of ministry opportunity, maybe some marriage, whatever, maybe having a child, something, whatever it may be, new job. And then the season of waiting, to see those days leading up to that thing that you're praying for are very significant and not wasted. It can be helpful in a season of busyness where your job has just weighed you down and there's many hours at the job, long hours. It can be relevant to the mother to see that every day, there's never been a normal day. As you look at this, the kind of, you might feel like the monotony of the dishes and the diapers and all those things, right? That it's all significant in the Lord, whatever situation you're in. I think that if you heed what I'm saying here and realize that every single day that you have as a Christian is a significant, special day, it can really help with joy. Just having joy on the daily, it can help with thankfulness, it can help with encouragement, it can help with a right sense of purpose, it can help in redeeming the time to make the most use of your time. And just one thing it can really help with is just a sense of the wonder of it all. One brother, they asked him, you know, what was the secret of his life? And he said something, or it was said of him at least, that he never lost the wonder of it all. And so let's think about this. You've never had a normal day as a Christian. And if you are, you're a note taker, don't worry. If you just want to listen, I can always email you these. But this is kind of a big picture. Let's just kind of step back, look at the whole forest, this whole forest with a banner over it saying you've never had a normal day as a Christian. You've never had a normal day as a Christian because even the most menial task as a Christian has great significance in Christ. In Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, word or deed, right? We know there in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So absolutely everything, the most menial task of eating and drinking or whatever word we might say or thing that we might do, we are to do it in the name of Christ. And right there, that just proves that absolutely everything in our lives has a significance about it. You know, you think about Ecclesiastes and you think about the preacher. You know, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And if you're not careful as a Christian, you can start thinking that he's describing the reality of the Christian. We're just kind of waiting to be in heaven. Just kind of everything around me is vanity. And I'm just, my life is vanity. I'm at the same job doing the same thing. Don't really feel like much kingdom work here at the job, whatever it may be. But really, we have to understand that in Ecclesiastes, that's the man looking at things horizontally. That's the man looking at the world without God, without God's perspective. So it's not true of us that vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What's true of us is significant, significant. Everything is significant in Christ. That's the reality for the Christian. And you know, you think about work. A lot of us spend a lot of time at work. And it says in Scripture, of course, this is written to bond servants. We know it has implications to the working man, the working woman, the housewife, whatever it may be. Bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Of course, we know these truths, right? We're working ultimately for Christ Himself. And that's just not some cheesy thing that we say or kind of make us all feel good. Our lives aren't really that significant, but yeah, but we're working for Jesus. This is real, right? This is reality that we're working unto Him, right? It's never a normal day when you're working for Christ. Right, and there's scripture talks about whatever position you're in when God saved you, let that person remain there with God, right? Not just we're doing it for Christ, like under for Him and our ethics and whatever it may be, our Christian ethics, but we're doing it with Him, right? I mean, it says there in Zephaniah chapter 3 that the king is in our midst. And I love that verse. Just think, this mighty king in the midst. And you think about the omnipresence of God. And there at your job, whatever, or there at your house, you may work from home, whatever it may be, whatever you're doing, a day off, whatever it is. It's never boring. It's never just so-called normal. When Christ is in the midst, right? When Christ is there, everything is significant. Whether a person's retired or almost retired, those days are not just some wasted day. They're significant days. And we know, too, that our jobs, that there's great, at our work, that there's great things happening through us that we don't always realize. We kind of focus on the things that, man, I wish I was a better testimony in this area, or I want to be better here. Kind of we're weighed down by different things at times, possibly. But we forget sometimes that we're the city set on a hill, right? We're there in the midst of the loss. We're there in the midst of the darkness, and they're just like beaming light coming out of the Christian. You know, just in through regeneration, not just that we're made right with Christ, right, in justification, but in regeneration, being new creations, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You walk up in the workplace, into the darkness, there's just beaming light coming out of the Christian, right? And we're actually adorning the gospel. Not saying that we're preaching the gospel, but we're adorning the message that we are saying. And it's a reality that it says in Titus chapter 2, 9 and 10, bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. It's talking about character, the character that we exhibit, though it's not absolute perfection. There is some real character in our lives, right? We can't deny it, that there is light shine. We are showing something of the beauty and the worth of Christ. So someone says, well, what did you do today? Well, all I did was work today. Well, hardly, right? Such things are happening through us even in those things. And it's not just significant on the days when we get to share the gospel, right? Every day. That it's never a normal day for the Christian, because every day God is near you. Every day. We said something about this already. The omnipresence of God is not just the doctrine for a theology class, right? It is a very precious, intimate doctrine, right? You look at Psalm 139 as he expounds on this. You see it other places, but right there, it's one of the most intimate places in Scripture, right? It's all intimate, I guess, but Psalm 139 definitely is. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Or in the NAS, intimately acquainted with all my ways. So the Christian, the individual Christian, has this audience with God, has the attention of God, in a way, you might say, as if they were the only Christian in the world, right? Such attention, such focus that he has on the believer. And this, I know when I stand up, when I sit down, where can I go from his presence? The fullness of God, God there in every place, not bound by spatial dimensions, is a sweet, intimate doctrine. And it's never a normal day when we're in the midst of such a God, right? Even when we're going through trials, whatever it may be, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That means that even when you're going through whatever trial, you may not have much of the presence of God or much sense of the presence of God, But God is with the Christian, right? He's near to those who call upon him, those that call upon him in truth. That you say, I didn't feel God near when I prayed. Well, God was near. Yeah, we want more of that manifest presence of God. We should ask for that. But God's near to his people on the daily. You've never had a normal day as a Christian as well, because every day the Christian is carried by the Lord. Every day you are carried by the Lord. Deuteronomy 1:30. Chapter 1, verse 30, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, it says. How the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. You ever seen some of these godly fathers around here carrying their little kids around? You get something of a picture, right, of this. And just times that by a million, right? Just the reality that God carrying his people, helping them. There's an affection there. There's a help there. There's a protection, a power there. And where is he carrying us, right? What's it say there in Hebrews? That he's bringing many sons to glory, right? Every day the Christian is being carried by the Lord like a father would intimately and powerfully carry his son all the way to glory. That's the destination. That's happening on Tuesday, right? When it seems everything's normal, you're at the same old job. These are realities that are true for us on the daily. We never had a normal day when that's the case. Never had a normal day when you have access to the Lord through prayer. You know, we get used to praying. We get kind of thinking it's very common. It's very natural. I understand that as well. But we need to kind of step back at times, just realize we're like talking to the one who made the universe, right? We have this connection with him that the world doesn't have, this access that we have with him. And it's a glorious thing. The throne of grace is in every place. It's never a normal day when we're coming before the throne of grace and receiving help in time of need and just communion with this God. Not that he's not some statue, right? He's a living God. He's engaging with his people, as we see there in the Song of Solomon, as he comes after his bride and he's saying, arise and come away with me. Every day the Christian is caught up in this relationship with the Lord. And it's never a normal day when our prayers, our personal prayers, are impacting eternity the way that they are, right? Sometimes we don't think about it, but if we were to step back or maybe just see how God has used your individual prayers in your life, what he has done in to shape eternity through your own private prayer life, your private prayer life, right? Your prayers, right? Because weak in and of themselves, but powerful through Christ, right? If you were to see how much God has already used you in your prayer life, you'd be very much more encouraged to pray, and you may not believe it, how big it is. And how's that happening? That's happened on the daily, right? Even those prayers you might lift up at work for the missionary or whoever it may be, for the brethren or for the lost, God using those things. Never a normal day when such things are happening. Never a normal day, because every day God is fighting for the Christian. To have God fighting for you. You already read something like that, but there's another verse here in Joshua, and we know that all the promises are yes and amen in Jesus. In Joshua 23, verse 10, one man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. That's my promise, right? That's your promise if you're a Christian. That this God fighting for us, how much, if we could see what God sees, how much in the daily is God fighting, right? How much things have we been prevented from, right? Because he was fighting for us. How many times would the armies of hell just seek to take us out, but yet he put that hedge right there. And if he does ever allow it, it's all under sovereign care. It's all with intimate purposes to bring about more Christ-likeness. This God that's fighting for us every day, God fighting for me every day. It's never a normal day when that's happening. It's never a normal day for the Christian. You've never had a normal day, because every day the Christian has peace with God. That is not normal. peace with God every day on the so-called normal Monday, on the Wednesday, on the Thursday, on the vacation. We're walking around in peace with God, right? The war has been ceased, right? The war that He was against us and we were against Him, and that through the cross and what He has done in our life, He's brought us to Himself, and now there's just peace with God. It says there in Scripture that we have been justified by faith in Romans 5. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Every day, the Christian standing in grace, right? Walking around in grace, peace with God. That's not normal. Every day we have this hope of heaven, one day closer. Every day is one day closer to glory. Like it says in Romans 13:11, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. What's happening? It's getting closer. One day closer. What's the brother say? Just a few more days, right? We'll be there with Him. It's not a normal day when that's happening. Never a normal day when the Lord is for us every day. And that's true. He's for us there in Romans chapter 8 in the gospel, that He's behind us. He is for us. He has won us. All those glorious things about Romans 8 are true of the Christian on the daily, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? And it's never a normal day, because every day we're living in this new age, right? This age at which we live in, right? We're not living in the same age that the Old Testament believers were, right? It says in Scripture that upon us has the end of the ages come. You know, those Old Testament saints, they were looking forward to when Christ would come, right? They saw Christ from afar. They saw a lot. They experienced a lot. And sometimes we would wrongly say, oh, to be them back then. But really, if we understand it right, they would say, oh, to be them, to be living in the age in which they're living in, to be living in the age when Joel has been fulfilled, when the Spirit of God has been poured out upon the church, where Christ has already come, right? Long ago in times that God spoke by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken by His Son, right? We are living in these days, these last days, when Christ has come, right? Christ has already come. He's lived. He's died. He bore the wrath of God. He said it was finished. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to the right hand. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He has poured out the Spirit on the church. We're living in this age, right, of the ingathering of the Gentiles, where the Spirit of God has been poured out. That is not normal. That is happening every day that we're living in this time, right? The grace of God has appeared. Remember what Christ said to His disciples? Turning to them privately, He said there in Luke 10, He said, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Every Christian can take that for themselves. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Blessed are your eyes, for they see what you see. You know, we talk sometimes about, I want to see more. I feel like I can't see. But Scripture, it is true. We want to see more. There's so much more to see. But Scripture says that our face has been unveiled. We all with unveiled face. My face is not veiled, neither yours if you're a Christian. We want to see more, but we do see, right? Blessed are our eyes, for they see what they see. And that happens, right? We're seeing. We see Christ. We see Him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. It's never a normal day for the Christian, because every single day the Christian has the Word of God at their fingertips. The Word, right? It's our delight. It's to be our meditation, right? It is. We are these people that can see glory in the Scriptures, be able to have the Bible in our hands, to be our daily delight, to every day that all the promises are yes and amen in Jesus, to every day we can be transformed by the renewal of our mind. You think like, oh, what's something significant that's going to happen today? It's like, man, I'm going to be in the Word today. Later on with my family, we're going to look around 1 Peter. Let's pray that God will just show us glory in the text, right? Every day we have this access, right? Sweet consolations to soothe the soul on the daily. Glorious truths about the triune God. Rich verses that tell us of Christ. Wonderful truths that speak to us the gospel. Rivers of delight every day. Delightful truths, moving truths, profound truths, helpful truths, soul-nourishing truths, truths that show us about the one that we love, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory of God in Him. Every day, all the promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And when we think about the Word, you know, Scripture will often in the New Testament will define the Word as the gospel itself. Have you ever noticed that? There in 1 Peter at the end there, chapter 1, where it talks about that all these things are going to pass away, the flesh and the grass going to pass away, but the Word is going to endure forever. And this Word, what's it say? Is the good news that was preached for you. If that's not clear enough, there's other places as well. Every day we have this word of the gospel at our fingertips, right? All of the Bible pointing to this ultimate end there in the glory of Christ and what He's done for us in the gospel. Every day, brethren, every day the Lord is marching on. Wouldn't you all say? I guess it could be that the Lord could say, well, not going to do much today, but I think it's probably every day, wouldn't you say? Right? The Lord, every day, the Lord is marching on, right? Sometimes we get in our little lives and we need to think bigger, right? We need to think, what's happening in the world? What's going on, right? Even if we don't know exactly all the details, that we can know from Scripture that glorious things are happening every day in the advancement of the kingdom. Christ did say that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. What is He doing? He's building His church. We get discouraged sometimes in the fulfillment of the Great Commission, but it says in Scripture about Christ, He will not grow faint or be discouraged till He has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for His law. He doesn't grow faint or discouraged in the fulfillment of His purposes, right? Every day He's marching on, right? We sing that glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on, right? We can think about that even on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the job, right? These glorious things are happening. I know a brother that when he prays, he'll pray, Lord, thank You for all the people that You saved today. Just takes it like that. I mean, I guess you could say maybe God doesn't save somebody every day, but it wouldn't surprise me if He does. He says to the nations, give up, right? He's bringing His sons and His daughters from afar. The gospel is going out. People, there's brethren that are taking it out to the ends of the earth. God is doing so much more than we can see. It's so much bigger than what we can see. It's so much bigger than our little tiny circles. You know, it's so much bigger than all these things, right? What God is doing in the world. And we can encourage ourselves that God is marching on and doing great things. Every day, Christ is nourishing and cherishing His church. That is not normal. That is not boring. That is significant. Every day, right? We know it says there in Scripture, when we're talking about loving our wives, that no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Cherishes it. Just as Christ does the church. Just as Christ does the church every day. Every day, brethren. Everything is being, God is doing this great end in His good providence and His sovereignty, bringing about this ultimate end to sum up all things in Christ, to unite all things in Christ, right? We're moving towards this great end, right? Christ has died, right? He is in that place. It has been won at the cross, but now what's happening on the daily, God is bringing about the fruit, the application of that work, and ultimately summing all things up in Jesus Christ. That's happening on the daily, right? God is doing that. It's significant. It's never a normal day because every day the Christian can sing and celebrate, right? We can be a rejoicing people, a people that celebrate. It says there in Scripture that shout in Isaiah 12, shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. We're called to shout, to sing, to celebrate. It says, blessed are the people who know the festal shout in Psalm 89. The festal shout. Do we have to wait only till Sunday to have this festal shout? Right? Can you just lift up your hands, right, in the bathroom at work or whatever? Or with your around your family? Sing, right? Sing and celebrate this glorious God that we have, this glorious gospel. Maybe it's a day you feel like, man, something's kind of, everything just kind of seems normal today. It's almost tempted to be bored. Sing a hymn, right? To remind yourself, raise the voice, the festal shout every day. What people do you know that can sing on the way to work on Monday morning and just glory in the car, right? Blessed are those that know the festal shout. And there's more we could say. Blessed that it's never a normal day because every day we are in Christ. To be united with Jesus Christ, the reality of that, our union with Him. We have died in Him, right? We've been raised with Him. The Christian has experienced this spiritual resurrection, that we have new hearts. We have been born again. We have been born from above. We have these new hearts now with Christ. Not only that, but we're seated with Christ in this in our positional place with Him. Though we're here right now, we're seated with Him in the heavenly places, in that place of victory, right? Where He sat down after He accomplished the work of redemption. He sat down in that place of victory, that place of honor. And the Scripture says we're seated there with Him as well. Even though you may not feel it as much as you should or whatever, it's a reality right now for the Christians. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's a reality on the daily. It says in Scripture, we've already come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. You know the passage. We're already there in Him. So many things there. Life hidden with Christ in God. All these glorious things about our union with Christ are true of you as a Christian on the daily, right? Never a normal day because every day Christ is living in me. Think about this. I know these things are things we already know, but I'm simply reminding us of them. It's never a normal day when every day Christ is living in me, right? That famous verse there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ in the Christian, right? By the Spirit of Christ indwelling the Christian. So much connection there between the Spirit and the Son of God there. It said that Christ is living in me, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, every day. One brother, the Lord ended up using him, I heard, and somebody asked him, man, what's been helpful in your life? And he said, you know, I just began to really believe that Christ is in me. It's that simple truth, that Christ is in me. And it seemed to change his life. Just believe this reality. Christ is in me. That happens on Tuesday, right? That happens when maybe you might be tempted to be bored or whatever it may be. And brethren, if we're bored in life, if we're bored in the Christian life, something's wrong, right? There's something we're missing. We're not thinking about something right. Right, we need to renew our mind and realize who we are. We need to realize these glorious things about God. You know, when they're not seeing a lot of glory in the things of God, God can persevere you in that state, but it can be a very dangerous place to be, right? When we're not seeing glory in Christ. I'm not trying to discourage anybody that may be walking through a valley right now or something like that, but we know that we want to cling to Him. We were made to see wonderful things in God. We were made to see, you know, even lost people show it. They go out to the Grand Canyon. Why? Because it's beautiful. They were made to see glory, right? They were made to see something bigger than themselves. But yet us as Christians, we need to realize we need to see glory. We need experience, right? We need to see the wonderful things about God. We need not lose the wonder of it all. It's a safe place to be when we're seeing the glory and the wonder of it all, right? Every day we can see these things. Never a normal day as well, because every day the Christian is swept up into the fellowship of this triune God. That's what has happened to us, right, in our salvation. We've been swept up. Jesus said, about speaking about Himself and about the Father, He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And notice what it says, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him. We will come to Him. This coming close, our home, this intimacy, right? We, right? Speaking about one, more than one person of the Trinity, the Father and the Son coming close. And then we see in other parts in Scripture, we see about the Spirit, the fellowship with the Spirit that we enjoy. We see that He is a person, as you guys have heard here recently. The Christian has been swept up into the fellowship of the triune God. Like I think it was Tawfiq one time said, you can just stand in the panoramic view of the Trinity, right? That is not normal. To have such a knowledge, to have such an access, to have such a reality to be true about us. Like it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that we might be brought, what? To God, right? That is the ultimate good of what we get as Christians, right? We get to know Him. He's the treasure. It is heaven is heaven because He is there. It is the glory of God. It is His manifest excellency is on display and the intimate knowledge of that for all of eternity. We get Him and we don't have to wait to know Him, right? We can know Him in this day and on Monday and on Wednesday, whatever it may be. We have God, our exceeding joy, every day. It's never a normal day, brethren, because all of our trials are so full of purpose. We know that in the Scriptures, what they're doing, they're testing the genuineness of our faith. There's times when it's necessary that we be grieved for a time, like it says there in 1 Peter. It's necessary at times. These trials, these things, we know what they're bringing about is this ultimate good. All things working together for good. And what is that good? Conformity to Christ. We've been predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. What is the ultimate good there? All things, what is He working out? All these different trials, we're being made more and more to be like Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes this can be a little bit hard for us to see glory in it, because it seems like in our day that sanctification has been so dumbed down, right? Because you have all this defeated kind of mentality and stuff. Well, the sanctification process is really slow. You know, we're never where we want to be. And it's just kind of little by little. I know there's an aspect of that. I know there's a passage there in the Old Testament. We take the land little by little. I know the reality of that. But we don't want to overstate that so much to where we actually lose the glory of what's happening to us. Like if you look in Scripture, it says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed from one degree of glory to another. You notice it doesn't say, oh, we're just kind of being changed little by little. People, you can talk about sanctification in such low terms. It basically means nothing, right? Hardly anything's happening. But then you look at Scripture and it says, glory to glory. I don't know about you guys, but it sounds a little bit more than little, doesn't it? Glory to glory, right? And if you look back out over our lives, if you've been a Christian even for a year or something, those of us that had some years in Christ, you look back, what has God been doing in our life? Supernaturally, marvelously transforming us to be more like Jesus Christ. Now, it's hard for us at times because we have new hearts and we feel sin, we feel our weakness, and we groan in this tent, right? We're longing for the ultimate consummation, right? But we need to realize what's been happening to me. I've been being transformed. I cannot deny it, right? And you cannot deny it either if you're a true Christian. We are more like Christ now than when we first started by the grace of God, right? What has been happening to us? Glorious things have been happening to us. And how did that happen? Happened on Monday, didn't it? Happened on Tuesday? Happened on that so-called normal day? God was at work. Right? What's it say there in Isaiah 27? Continuously watering His people, growing His people, right? This upward swing from glory to glory. It's never a normal day when things like that are happening. And it's never a normal day, brethren, because every day we're living on a battlefield. Every day the Christian is living on the battlefield. Can you imagine the soldier in the trenches? Bullets flying over his head. He hears the bombs going off. People are falling, right? People are wounded. people are dying around him, and he's just sitting there like, oh, I'm just kind of bored today. It's just kind of not much happening in my life right now. It's like, brother, you're in a war, man. You need to wake up, right? And sometimes we forget about that, right? Some people, you can have too much emphasis on the devil, right? Too much emphasis on the war that's happening. You can be infatuated with all the spiritual warfare and all that. But on the other hand, probably our more tendency possibly is to more forget about that, to not think too much about that as the scripture would inform us to, right? But every day we're living on a battlefield. It says that there's real schemes of the devil against us. Like the brother said, reasoning powers of the devil, a real being seeking to thwart God's people, right? Surrounded by a people every day that are blinded by the evil one, that the God of this world has blinded, right? It says there in Ephesians 2 that not only are they blinded, but he is at work in them. We are living on this battlefield. Bullets flying, fiery darts that come against us. This is not normal to be in that kind of situation, right? We know the devil's not omnipresent, but we do know in Scripture that it talks about that he accuses the brethren day and night, right? It speaks about there's a frequency there. There can be seasons where it's more or less. We are told to resist him and he will flee. Yes, it's not like he's always around us, but we know, we feel it, do we not? That we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's true on the daily. We're told to be sober-minded. We're told to be watchful because our adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What's he devour? It says, resist him firm in your faith. He wants to get us to doubt. He wants us not to believe God and choose sin or whatever it may be. He's seeking, like it says there in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul was worried about this, that the believers would have their thoughts led astray from a sincere and a pure devotion to Christ. Why is it so hard that you have to just fight and battle to have this just intimate walk with Christ? It's not just that the demonic aspect, but there is a demonic aspect of that, isn't it? Trying to lead your thoughts away. Is that not happening on Monday or regular Tuesday? You see, brethren, we need to realize it's safe to realize this is not normal. I'm on this battlefield on the daily. We're called in every circumstance to take up the shield of faith because there's flaming darts of the evil one. It's never a normal day. I got a few more here. Never a normal day because temptations to sin are very real, right? I mean, it says there in Peter, passions of the flesh that wage war on your soul. That sounds serious, right? And we feel that, right? We feel the temptation. We feel the pull towards whatever it may be, different and various temptations for different people. The passions of the flesh, the temptations to sin that Jesus promised us were sure to come. But at the same time, brethren, it's never a normal day when that happens, but it's never a normal day when we have such a throne of grace to be able to go before our high priest, the one who is tempted in every way we were, yet without sin and won the victory, and be able to go to him and ask for this timely help in time of need. That's happened on the Monday, right? That's happened on the normal Wednesday. These things, being able to go to this high priest, this king, right, and receive help from him and him sympathizing with us and all those things. It's never a normal day when that's happening. It's never a normal day because every day, wouldn't you say, souls are passing into eternity? Like I said, I mean, I suppose God could say nobody's going to die today, right? But it seems, at least statistically, we know that that is the case, right? Hundreds of thousands of people dying each day, right? If you think about, does this day feel normal? People are going to hell today, right? Or possibly some of those entering glory today. Right? That is reality. It's not normal. That's why, you know, we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. And brethren, it's never a normal day when the fields are white for harvest. The fields are white. Is that our mindset? Is that our expectation when we look out of this lost world? Or do we maybe have a wrong view of election and kind of think like, well, hardly anybody's going to get saved. Hardly any more churches are going to be started. Maybe a couple, but not a massive move, not a big big ingathering of souls, right? He's Jesus' perspective, the one who said, "Few there be that find it," also said, "The harvest is plentiful." The only problem is not the harvest. The problem is we just lack laborers. And even in that case, he gave us something that we could do about it, but that's another sermon. We can pray for more laborers, right? Every day, the field's white for harvest, right? It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find a reformed person that actually has an expectation resounding in their soul that the fields are white for harvest. And they look out at this world and they think, the fields are white for harvest, right? If God is going to do something like save a whole city in Nineveh's day, should we not expect things like that in our day? Even if you wouldn't say a whole city, I realize different things is going to get worse and worse. But is it not true that if things get worse and worse, there can't be just this burst of glory, burst of salvation, hundreds of more churches, all these things, right, that we see in these different parts of the world? Every day the field is white for harvest, Jesus said. Time would fail for us to speak about all the different reasons why we've never had a normal day. Talk about the meetings. Never had a normal meeting. Never had some normal family time, right, when you're investing in your children by the grace of God and things. Time would fail, but I just want to close with two of them. It's never a normal day because every day the Christian is loved by the Lord. Every day the Christian. What did the brother say? Oh, this boundless, fathomless ocean. Every day the Christian is swimming in the ocean of God's love. Wrapped. There's a song that says, underneath me, all around me is the currents of his love. Every day. That is something, right? Such is the love that he has, that as we've heard in Ephesians chapter 3, we need to pray for supernatural grace to be able to understand this thing. I mean, you look at the dimension, it's vast, it's broad, it's high, it's wide. To know the love of Christ, we need to pray that we would be strengthened in the inner man to be able to understand this. And it says in that text, it assumes that as we do pray it, we're going to understand more that ocean of the love. Every day the Christian is swimming is loved by God in a love, right? Like the one person said as they were going through trials, you know, I know he loves me more than we can even understand. Just taking that by, there's so much more out there, the mountain of the love of God. Every day, singing over us, I take it there in Ephesians or Zephaniah chapter 3, like it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I don't take that just in when we're before Christ, but in the daily, right? In the daily that God, can you imagine God singing? You ever think about a beautiful voice, but then to hear God singing? And yet, what's he singing about? He's singing over you. Not any kind of man-centeredness, not anything like that, but just genuine love for you, right? He loved you so that, and therefore he saved you. He put you in Christ because he wanted you. All for his glory, but in that wrapped up love for us. And the last one, that it's never a normal day when Christ is in the continual pursuit of his people. Is that not true on Monday and Tuesday? Like when Christ is coming, my beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Oh, my dove. This is Christ speaking to you as a believer. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. And your face is lovely. I know there's an aspect that we feel the promptings to go away and be with Christ. There's a inward leading and those sorts of things. But I think that's an aspect here. But I think I take it also that this is Christ in the continual pursuit of his people, even in discipline, whatever. It's always that Christ is saying, not just go away in a private spot and be with him, though he's calling us to do that. But yet even in the midst of a crowded room in a place like today at the workplace, surrounded by darkness, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Oh, my dove. In the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. Longing for intimacy. Coming over the mountains, this beautiful Christ, this beautiful husband coming for his bride. We know the bride being the church at whole, right? The church universal, but yet the individual believer is the bride as well, no? There's a very, very personal aspect to that. So brethren, I didn't really tell you anything that you don't already know, but I just wanted to emphasize that we could not lose the wonder of it all. Sometimes you might have heard this and like, man, that is true. That is encouraging. Well, I simply just reminded you of truth that you already know in a real sense. There is a place for us to be transformed, to think about these things. When things feel normal, when things don't really feel special, to us to set our mind on things above. You say, well, I don't really feel it like I should. You know, I'm thinking about that. I'm not that excited. I know not everybody's like that, but maybe you are. But okay, take it. It's reckon it to be true. Even though I do not feel it, this is absolute reality. At this moment, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, for example. And what we find as we're taking it by faith, taking it with certainty, this is a reality. Those affections, those feelings often come, right? After those things that you do long for. Never had a normal day. So may God help us in our days, in the days that we have, however many days that is, to see that's the glory of it all. Never had a normal day. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you'd help us see the glory of these things. Lord, you know, I said much. I pray, Lord, just for this big vision of just that we would just be filled with just significance, and we'd be filled with just the glory of it all, and you would make us, Lord, as people, as individuals, Lord, people like that brother that never lost the glory of it all. May it, Lord, may it never be that the holy things become common. Lord, show us the glory of it all. And Lord, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.